As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince, quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/playbook.
I'm blessed to be part of the Dingra family, and what a huge compliment it is to be told that your essence is appreciated, whether you're on stage or off stage. And it is definitely something that has taken years for me to learn about my own values, my own practices, and my own execution of those values and practices. And that's why I take as much time as I can to pour in to everyone every single day, 7 days a week. So I want to thank you for the acknowledgement and the appreciation. You made my day. So thank you so much, Arjun.
Anytime, brother. I appreciate you more than you know. And, you know, David was a speaker at our LFG launch event, at the Society launch event. He's a Society ambassador. He's a big fan of what we're doing here. He's going to continue to be involved because David is all about giving and lifting others. And that is the entire premise of this group. That's the culture here. That's the bedrock of it. David, I want to ask you this to kind of kick things off. This has been a challenging year for a lot of businesses. You're a business advisor, consultant. You own many businesses. You're a partner in many businesses. You know it hasn't been smooth waters for everyone. Some businesses have done well. Others have had a really tough go at it. And we may not be out of those woods yet. What do you say to people? Because we have a lot of them here on this call, myself included, where this last year, we didn't hit a lot of the boxes we wanted to. We didn't accomplish all that we wanted to, whether it was financially, personally, within our businesses. And we can be really hard on ourselves and unkind at times, almost too harsh. What do you say about letting go of those things and not chalking them up as failures or indictments, but trying to just take the lessons from it? And how do we move forward from here?
Well, first of all, I have a saying that nobody makes enough mistakes. We poo on these mistakes that we make, but mistakes are not the reason that you're having a difficult time. But it will also not indicate your failure. I've made more mistakes than most people, bigger mistakes for sure than most people. But it's the lack of commitment that causes the failure, not the mistakes that you've made. And what I'd say to people is, number one, make sure you're committed. Make sure you have a desire that you must be what you can be. Make sure that you know your purpose, because as long as your purpose is greater than the pain, the meaning that you'll give the struggle's the choice that you have. Pain is not a choice. It's going to be omnipresent every single day of your life. It is the meaning of that pain and the reaction to it, in which incorporates your progress. Those people that do well in challenging times with pain, personally or professionally, and I've personally and professionally encountered both of these and still do. The difference of today when we encounter this pain is, one, to make sure that we have a check on applying our why, knowing that our behaviors only create one outcome, progress. And indicative of knowing what we want in that progress and the behaviors aligned with what we want or think we want is the only way that we will progress and eventually to success. And so a lot of people lack the desire that they must be what they can be. They forget it's the of what they're doing to be greater than that pain in the end. I'm committed and falling below the line of success into blame, into shame, into justification, instead of trying to expand their skills, trying to expand the knowledge of who they know and what they know, and then create and aggregate and accelerate that desire and align it with what's doing well today, what's stable today, and what they think will be doing well in the future. And those people that don't try to pivot, that don't try to transition, but instead look within and expand the skills, the knowledge, and the desire that they have, and pragmatically align it with what is doing well today, what you think is doing well, or what's stable today, or what you think will be doing well in the future, will create an acceleration in that behavior and the progress aligned with that behavior. Remember, good behavior is yours alone. Good behavior is behavior that's aligned with where you want to be or better. Bad behavior interferes with where you want to be or better. Your good behavior may be not bad behavior determined upon where I want to be or better. And your bad behavior may be my good behavior in the same respect. And so I want people to realize how powerful their faith is, how powerful their desire is, and realize it's only the lack of commitment that will determine whether or not I'm a success or a failure. It'll never be the mistakes, the market, the secular nature of the market. It'll never be the supply and demand. It'll always be the expansion of you. And you cannot find outside of you what you can't see inside of you. And so I want everyone to take inventory of your skills, knowledge, and desire, and then apply it, align it with the circumstances of today.
David, you know, you talk a lot about loss and, you know, your story, it's infamous, right? Of losing $100 million and living in a rented apartment with rented furniture and a rented vehicle, and having a full family and still having to provide. When you go through moments like that, it's very easy to, of course, you know, forget about playing victim, to just be so angry at yourself, right? How do you forgive? How does one forgive themselves for setbacks and losses when we know that it's now resulted in a lot of other things that maybe have either been affected or other lives have been affected or disrupted? And now my business, now my goals are even further out. Like the grace and forgiveness of oneself, we don't talk about it enough, but you must have had some formula for this, or maybe figured it out by accident. But how do we forgive ourselves in those situations?
Well, one, work in the context of reality. And so I was very real about the fact that I was extremely guilty and resentful and angry and frustrated and separate and inferior and superior. And instead of accelerating in the wrong direction, instead of resisting it, going over it, under it, through it, around it, lying to it, manipulating it, cheating it, and denying it, I created a methodology that each time I reacted to the fear of that mistake, the fear of doing it again, the fear of my own self-image, notating everyone, you will never overachieve your own self-image. And my self-image, my basement had a basement when I lost everything. But what I did, instead of trying to go get it all back, I started to work within a context of I am. And so I started every day with I am happy, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? And I started to look at myself and look within and forgive myself and forgive how I've interfered with where I wanted to be or better. And that created some great momentum. But without gratitude and forgiveness and accountability, those three family members, every day when the pain, and there was a lot of it, as you know, I had to not only lose everything, but the only reason I ever wanted to be rich was to buy my mom a house, and I lost. She had to move out of it. So every day that any of those reactions to fear that would interfere with where I wanted to be, I'd simply stop, take gratitude to find the light, the love, and the lessons in what I had in my life according to what the circumstances of the day were. I'd forgive myself for my trespasses. And I take accountability. And here's the three critical questions that I asked in order to learn from it, because I knew that was the only benefit of it. And for me, it was one, what did I do to be responsible for this? What did I do to attract this to myself? And what am I doing to participate in this perception to find out what it is that I should learn from this? And it wasn't just seeking the wisdom from mentors, people who sit in a situation that I wanted to be in, but also to reach out and help people get to where they wanted to be or better, and incorporate it under an umbrella of simple faith. Simple faith that gave me that purpose, gave me that commitment, the faith that there's something bigger than me, an omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing source that loves me, protects me, promotes me, and perfects me more than my mom. So no longer did I feel punished. And every day I woke up inspired, clearing all the wrong people, clearing all the wrong ideas, clearing all the wrong things, behaviors in my life, the drinking, the drugs, the strip clubs, all the wrong things in my life. I just cleared them away because they were interfering with my higher self, my potential. And it was amazing how quickly, as you know, this methodology that I created of doing what I want, who I can help, who can help me, and how to get that done, allowed me to reprioritize every day according to the circumstances. But more importantly, it allowed me to change the meaning of my past. Instead of being punished, I lived in promotion from losing everything. I lived in promotion in my marriage and in my life. Everything was promoting me, not punishing me. And then it increased my self-image, allowing me to expand beyond my wildest expectation, but not my wildest dreams.
I love it. This is powerful. You guys loving every bit of this. I hope you are, because there's so many bombs being dropped here in a good way. Guys, I want you to all prep questions for David. I'm going to ask him one more and then I'm going to open this up. So have something, please have your hand up and I will call on you. And remember to try and be very brief and get right to it here with David so we can be respectful of his time. David, you talked about, you know, mentors there and kind of pushing out all the negative influences, whether it was things you were doing, certain environments. And that included a lot of people. For all of us that, you know, some of us may have mentors, others may have thought or known we want to get one. And it's been in the periphery, but we haven't done it. Is there a formula or a way or a method that you have or that you would recommend to people? And maybe it's multiple mentors of what you would recommend in 2025 that people do to get around better people and learn from them and be a sponge? Because that's been critical for you. And I know you pay it forward. I mean, that's what you are to so many of us.
Yeah, I take a team's approach. You know, there's so many great famous mentors that tell about you're the aggregate of the five people you spend the most time with. I have a little nuance to that because I don't think that's realistic. You know, you may spend a lot of time around people you don't want to because of relativity association that bleeds you. But what I say is create teams. See, the LFG society is a team of people that want to help each other and know people that can help each other. So I say identify teams and show what position you want to play on the team. Some teams, I'm the owner. You know, I used to say I wanted to be the owner of my family team, but my wife showed me that that's really not the strongest position. So I'm more the head coach. She's the owner, and it's better off for the team. Let's just put it that way. But more importantly, if you look at things of, okay, subject matter, topic expertise, mortgage, who's my mortgage team? Family, who's my family team? Health, who's my health team? Faith, who's my faith team? Finance, who's my finance team? And then know and be realistic about the skills, knowledge, and desires that you have. Now, what position am I going to play on this team in order to facilitate a greater good? And so I think in the context of aggregating the people around you, think about it for 2025. What teams am I playing on? What position on those teams? How am I being of value under the context of what it is I want from the team? Who can I help and who can help me on this team? And then how can we best elevate, accelerate, aggregate in a divine direction and allow for divine time to show us the revelation, the unraveling of what we want or better? Most things in my life, the outcomes in my life do not seem at the time that they happen good. But eventually, in my life so far, one advantage of being old is eventually they end up better than I thought. Not better than I thought it was. I mean, better than I thought that I wanted. And so you can take every variable and understand that it's a matter of finding this team. And I want to send your entire community my five daily practices. Just email me. I'll sign the book, send it to you, pay for shipping in the book. for your community. But I also send this template to say, okay, this is how I figure out my teams for 2025. And you're already, if you're on this call, you're already on a great team, but why not be intentional in being on this team with understanding what I want, who I can help, who can help me, and how best to get that done, and what position I'm playing in order to best get that done on the LFG Society team.
Awesome. Awesome, Dave. Thank you. That was great. And we will definitely take you up on that, brother, as you know. So I'll follow back up with you and Nick on that, and we'll make that happen.
Yeah, put my email in the chat, david@dmeltzer.com.
Okay. Thank you, David, for that. It's very generous of you.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You know, one of my favorite parts of the holidays is the feeling of warmth and connection that comes with it, whether it's spending time with loved ones, wrapping up in a cozy blanket, or sipping on a hot chocolate while watching a holiday movie. December always brings a special kind of comfort. But I've also learned over the years that true comfort, the kind that lasts beyond the holiday season, comes from taking care of your mental and emotional well-being. Therapy is an incredible tool for achieving that lasting sense of comfort and growth. It's not just about working through challenges. It's about learning how to set boundaries, build positive coping strategies, and become the best version of yourself. And that's not something limited to people who've experienced major trauma. It's a resource that can benefit everyone, no matter where they are in their journey. If you've been thinking about starting therapy, BetterHelp is a fantastic option to consider. It's completely online, designed to be convenient and flexible, so it fits easily into your busy schedule. All it takes is a quick questionnaire to match you with a licensed therapist who's right for you. And if you ever want to switch therapists, you can do so at no extra charge. It's therapy on your terms, and that makes it accessible to everyone. Find comfort this December with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/playbook today to get 10% off your first month. That's betterhelp.com/playbook. As someone who spends my life focused on creating value for others, whether through speaking, writing, or entrepreneurship, finding the perfect gift for loved ones can feel like an impossible task. I always aim to give something that's thoughtful, high quality, and meaningful. But let's be honest, it's not always easy. This year, I found the perfect solution, Quince. Quince allows you to treat your loved ones and yourself to timeless, premium quality gifts at a price that makes sense. As someone who values efficiency and excellence, I was impressed by their approach to creating luxury without the luxury price tag. I've personally been drawn to their Mongolian cashmere sweater. It's a classic, versatile piece that fits right into my lifestyle. And if you're like me and travel a lot, their packable puffer jackets are a game changer. Lightweight, warm, and stylish, they're perfect for anyone on the go this holiday season. Quince is committed to doing the things the right way. They partner only with factories that follow safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices. And every piece they create is made with premium fabrics and finishes to give you that luxury feel. Get luxury this holiday season without the luxury price tag. Go to quince.com/playbook for a 365-day returns plus free shipping on your order. That's Quince. quince.com/playbook to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/playbook.
Guys, I want you to get your questions in. I wanted to just frame this conversation around kind of forgiving ourselves and not dwelling on the past. That was my main goal here. David beautifully did that. I hope you all got something out of it, because I know it's something that in conversations I've had with so many of you offline, that's been weighing heavy on a lot of us, you know, letting go of it, being kind to ourselves and just moving forward, not letting this stuff repeat itself. But please, just by raising your hand there in on your actual profile so I can call on you, whoever has the first question for David. Don't be shy now, guys. Take full advantage. This is not an opportunity that people get regularly or at all. Be able to ask David Meltzer a question up close. Anyone's hand up? I can't see everybody.
Yeah. Zero to one. I have this new saying. So I always say 0 to 1 takes more in time and effort than 1 to 100. And so many people, that first question, as you know, So if not, I'll make up a question, or Nick can ask the question. But I got a new one for everyone, because if you're not looking into AI, the three things I think you should look into for 2025. One is people skills, which you're going to need in this business. Two is read a lot, whatever that is, because it'll help you with your imagination and it'll help you determine what's real and fake. And so it's a great skill set. Those are two lost forms of art that will create a great separation in business, is your people skills and your ability to read, to determine truth and imagination. But the other one's AI. And so, as I've always said, 0 to 1 is more expensive and takes more time and effort than 1 to 100. But what AI allows you to do, it takes you from -1 to 0. And, you know, we don't even know the emotional expense and the quantitative value of very quickly taking you from -1 to 0 and then 0 to 1 through your efforts. So go ahead, learn AI, learn your people skills, and of course, read as much as you can to build that imagination and the distinctive property of knowing real from fake. These are going to be great separators in 2025 in everyone's personal and professional life. Hopefully I gave someone enough inspiration to come up with the first question.
There it is. We do have one. So Marianne, you are up first. Please unmute yourself and go ahead and ask David.
Hi, David. Thanks for being on our call today. And thank you, Arjun, for setting this up. I'm going to stay off camera because long story. But anyway, my question is, when you, I guess I'd say hit rock bottom, did you go through phases where you would get really excited about something, talk yourself out of it, or go through like what I call analysis paralysis? And how would you cut that cycle and get yourself out of it when you were at that point where, I don't know, maybe like I don't know if your morale was down or how you kind of got through that, but what would you do to break the cycle of talking yourself out of things or just overanalyzing and then eventually not executing?
Yeah. So I still do that today. And that's where these 5 daily practices come involved, because when you know what you want every day in a divine direction of where you think you want to be or better, it allows you to change the meaning of the past, and you can give the past any meaning you want. You can give it a meaning of punishment or protection or perfection or promotion. It doesn't matter. But what it does is it allows you in the circumstances of the day, the reality of the day, to know what's important to you. Now, I break down things as negotiable and non-negotiable because I know that if I do 7 hours of non-negotiable sleep with my sleep coach involved, and I have about 3.5 hours of non-negotiable behavior 7 days a week for my health, my family, my finance, my faith, the study of time, those types of things, it leaves about 13.5 hours to do whatever I want, which is where most people lose and feel overwhelmed, or and they procrastinate. They have the analysis paralysis problem. See, the thing is, if you know what's important to you, after your non-negotiables, even those that don't know they're non-negotiables, start there. If you know that, you'll know what's important to you in the context of the day, the circumstances of the day, and then you will know how to prioritize your day. You see, prioritization is the antidote to procrastination. If you know what to do now, 100% of the things you do now get done. And if you know what to do next, 100% of the things you do next get done. But most importantly, it's impossible to procrastinate and feel overwhelmed. So I teach people through the 5 daily practices to take into account the circumstances of the day, to create the non-negotiable behaviors and apply the time to it, and the behaviors and apply their why to it, meaning they know what's important to you in a realistic approach each and every day. Because if you separate things by the day, remember, the only common denominator in human experience is 24 hours. Everybody's guaranteed 24 hours a day, every day of their life. Except for the last day, they'll be cheated minutes, hours, whatever amount of time it is. But more importantly, when we start to understand how the man-made construct of time as a dependent variable can be utilized to determine in the circumstances of each day what's most important to you, you will never be overwhelmed. You will never procrastinate. You will simply now know what to do now and know what to do next, and you'll know how to reprioritize your day when you come up with this super well-developed plan of non-negotiables and negotiables, of planned and unplanned activities, and of paid for and unpaid for activities, you will know how to reprioritize, because you are, one, prepared to reprioritize, knowing that whenever as a human being we come up with a well-developed plan, God will laugh at you. But more importantly, you'll always know not only what's important to you according to the circumstances of the day, but where the open time is, the unplanned time is, in order to reprioritize, reorganize our now and our next. I'd love to send you directly these 5 daily practices in my book so we can go ahead and give you the antidote to procrastination and overanalysis.
Amazing. Thank you so much, David.
Thank you for joining.
Great question, Marianne. Matt Swettelson, you're up, brother.
Hey, thank you. So going back to when you're talking about, you know, doing some introspection and trying to figure out, you know, what are some of the good behaviors that you should be applying your, you know, positive energy towards, and then what's working today or what you think is going to be working. Do you have any advice on figuring out what is actually working?
Oh, yeah.
For example, you know, like, hey, there's people that are out there that make it look like it's working, but, you know, really it's a bunch of leased cars and all this type of stuff that they don't really own, you know, like the old rap industry. But what would I start at doing and saying, hey, you know what, I've had a couple ideas that all of a sudden I saw other people doing and time has passed, but I really have a gut feeling and I think this may work, to figure out, you know, how to apply that energy towards it.
No, great question. So yes, I do. The way that I do it, and I still do it, and the way that I did it in order to, you know, make it back from losing over $100 million, the way that I do it is I actually look at the stock market and analyze it in the context of industries, careers, and jobs. So what I do is I take an inventory of my skills, my knowledge, and my desire, and then I look at the stock market and say, you know, what 50 stocks are doing the best today? And I start analyzing clues, patterns, in order to see what jobs, industries, and careers are doing well today. Then I look at the stocks that haven't moved in 6 years. They're very stable. Industries, careers, and jobs that are available within those companies. And I look for the clues and the patterns there. Then I look for very volatile stocks to see any trends of what I think will be doing well in the future. And when I align my skills and knowledge with those jobs, careers, and industries that are doing well, stable, and I think are going to do well, I'm increasing the statistical success regardless of the circumstances of the day, meaning regardless of interest rates, regardless of flat tires, in-laws, or what other people think. British Airways. So I apologize. This is a great, great, great formula for you to figure out and put it in context.
That's so awesome. Thank you.
You got it.
David, you look like you're about to get out. Do you have time for one more question?
One more question. No, we're okay. Good. One more.
All right. Tim, you're up, brother. Last question.
All right. Appreciate you, Arjun. Mobile Meltzer, appreciate you taking time. I think a lot of us on the call are in mortgage or real estate, and our identity is wrapped up into being a mortgage producer, real estate producer. And when we have bad years or years that were more difficult, that really changes how you think about yourself and your identity, which can cause issues as your identity of who you are, not just what you do. I'd love to hear like how you've incorporated your spouse or even your kids to remind you who you are more than what you are as a profession to help. Sometimes it's the home life that helps the professional life, and sometimes it's vice versa. I'd love to ask like how you've incorporated your spouse and kids to help your professional life have success in down moments.
Yeah. So I don't look for balance. Number one, you know, in your industry and almost all industries, if you look for balance, you're going to fail. I look for harmony. And so harmony within the context of the days that I have and the circumstances. And what I found especially is to put family second to your health. Put family second to your health, to yourself. And because you can't give what you don't have. And so a lot of people, they put their family first and they end up in a diminished capacity financially, health-wise, in order to facilitate taking care of those people. And so for me, it's health first and then family. And then I give a minimum amount of time, intention, every day to my family. And it's a negotiable in my family how much time. So I give a minimum of 30 minutes to my wife every day, who saved my life because she's the only one that tells me the truth. Remember, I seek annoying people because there's two things that you look for in annoying people. One, they're repetitive, and that's the only way you really learn, because we lie to ourselves. When you hear Dave Meltzer's dropping nuggets, you lie to yourself and you're like, oh yeah, I got that. But bullshit. It's going to take like 100 times of hearing this shit for you to get it. So I want my family to be annoying. I want them to be repetitive. And then two, I want them to be honest with me. I want them to hurt my feelings and tell me you're not as good as you think you are. You're either humble or you're about to be. You're lying to yourself, whatever it is. And so, you know, I utilize the philosophy that 2 minutes a day with my 25-year-old daughter is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. But I put myself first, and included in self to me is faith. So that's, you know, I'm one with God, but myself is first and then my family. And I spend a minimum amount of time with each member of my family.
Incredible, David. We can't thank you enough for all this. That was a great answer and actually a really good way for us to end this. So David, thank you, brother. Wherever you're flying to.
I'm going to Egypt, brother.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Well, safe travels, brother. We're going to see you here in San Francisco in January. Yeah. We can't wait.
And I'll do this again. I'll do this again from my studio. So you can count me in for another one of these. Okay.
Okay. We'll do it. We'll take up on it. We love you, brother. Be well.
I love you. Thank you, guys.